Hello, RTS podcast listeners. We understand that in our last episode, we implied we'd be releasing our episode from Las Vegas today. We're here to tell you that we're actively hungover as fuck, literally as you're listening to this very message. With that said, we will be releasing that Vegas episode next Sunday. For this episode, we are taking a step in a very serious direction, as that is part of the RTS way. The stuff people don't want to talk about. This is your trigger warning. Trigger warning. This episode contains content related to trauma and may include stories that may be emotionally distressing or triggering to some listeners. We advise listener discretion and self-care while listening to this episode. If you feel overwhelmed during this episode, please feel free to pause or stop listening and seek support from a trusted friend or mental health professional. Your well-being is important to us, and we want to remind you that it is okay to prioritize your mental health. Enjoy.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Real Talk Sundays, the podcast for the people, by the people, because some people have trauma. We're here to talk about it. I'm your host, Amanda. This is my co-host,
Val.
And we have a guest with us today from a previous episode, my partner in crime and in life, Brandon.
I'm back,
bitches. But today we are going to talk about a really great RTS topic here, Real Talk Sunday topic, which is trauma. Nobody likes to talk about it, so we're going to talk about it. And we brought on the person who has the most trauma in our friend group.
Yes, sure.
It seemed fitting is to bring B on, but we're going to call this episode, If You Can't Laugh, You Can't Heal, TM, which is actually, I think, my life motto, quite frankly. But yeah, we're just going to go over kind of the stigma around trauma, reframing it, also some of our stories, life lessons, and, you know, our favorite segment, Thanks, Mom or Dad. And then, yeah, we're going to end on a positive note, some good music with you guys and some healing, like what to do, what not to do, how to break the cycle, things that we found. So, but yeah, I mean, this episode is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts out there. So it's something we wanted to talk about because I don't think it gets talked about enough. And, you know, when you open the door, I'm like, okay, what is trauma? What is trauma? Yes, you know, there is, you know, per definition, I even wrote down the definition. Trauma is an emotional or physical response to one or more harmful or life-threatening events or circumstances with lasting adverse effects on your mental and physical well-being. And that's according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. There's a couple other, you know, definitions out there that I found kind of sniffing around on this one. But I liked Dr. Mary Catherine, you know, MC McDonald. If you don't follow her on TikTok. She's really great. But she describes it as an unbearable emotional experience that lacks a relational home. And a relational home being a space to process the emotion with somebody else who can help you bear it. Essentially somebody else who can help you hold space so that you have that. But, you know, kind of going into, I guess, the stigma around trauma, let's kind of talk a little bit about that. And I think why we're kind of a well-rounded group here is everyone has trauma, different variants degree, you know, of degrees of it. But we have like small, medium, large here. It's a perfect little scale, but ultimately, I think we have a good round table on trauma and different perspectives here. So we can get, you know, all three corners, but, you know, ultimately, what have you, whether it's in your life or growing up, kind of what stigmas around trauma have you ran into?
I'd say that first one you just mentioned, and that is tearing trauma. Right. And so I'm super open about my trauma. And so I'll be talking to people and everyone's like, oh, man, yeah, no, mine's not that bad. I don't even have any trauma compared to that. But the thing is you can't compare trauma. Don't compare trauma. We all have our own trauma. Our stories individually are the most important things to each of us. And so your trauma is just as traumatic to you as my trauma is to me, no matter what the circumstance is. And so that's a thing that I have found talking to countless other people about, you know, trauma in general and my trauma in particular, is that everybody always compares trauma, and that's one of the stigmas behind it, is a lot of people keep quiet about their trauma because they think, oh, well, shit, I might as well not even say anything. I wasn't molested. I wasn't raped. I wasn't beaten. I wasn't, you know, this or that. why even say anything then? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's an important thing to remember, is not to tear out trauma like that.
Yeah, I think mine is very, very similar along those lines. Is a lot of the times I was like, oh, I had a great childhood. What are you talking about? Until I got into counseling, and there was elements of it where I was like, oh yeah, no, that did stem from my childhood. Or I simply would just forget. Like, I don't remember certain things the way they are. Or I would apologize for the other party, and I'd be like, oh, I couldn't imagine. Like, especially things between me and my brother. Or I'd be like, oh, I just feel so bad. I couldn't imagine what he was going through. And my counselor would be like, wait a second, what he was going through? Let's re-talk about what you just went through. That's crazy, you know, kind of displacing it. But yeah, comparing, especially when I met you.
Yeah, us talking about trauma together has been like that. And even guilty. Even in some of my own counseling sessions, we talked about that too, is that, you know, you have a hard time talking about your trauma because you always say, I don't have any trauma. Mm. And we both know that's not the case. Unless you compare it to my trauma, mm-hmm. then yeah, of course you don't have any trauma. I mean, I've been through some shit, mm-hmm. but you've been through your own shit. And that's always important to remember for everybody listening, is you've been through some shit. And so just remember that. And it's important to talk about it. And I'd say what we both have in common right now too, and a stigma, get a counselor, get a therapist, find somebody to talk to. It's the only way to work past it.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Val? I mean, Val works in a lot of mental health, and especially, you know, on the low income side of things as well, with people with serious mental health. So like, what's your opinion or the stigmas against trauma that you run into?
I mean, kind of what Brandon said, of how just because you feel like your trauma is not the same, or, oh man, he had a rough life, right? You typically say those things like, oh man, so-and-so went through stuff that I can't even imagine going through. Mm-hmm. But this is like super morbid, but if you got raped and I got raped, we would totally have different healing processes, and we would not react the same way either. So I think that's how, what he's saying of the small, medium, large, like, mm-hmm. you can't do that because of those situations. So that's just kind of what I was thinking actually, when he was talking.
Yeah. And they call that too, like, essentially your window of, what's it called? What did I say this morning? It's like your window of how you process things, right? And so trauma essentially shrinks that window. And so each and everybody has their own sized window on what you're prepared to handle, what can fit through that window, right? That you feel like, oh, that's not too bad. I can get through this. You know, I got this. Versus, shit, this is out of my depth. Like, this is out of my window. I can't. And trauma will shrink that window. So a lot of the stuff can't really fit through it anymore. Brandon, you keep referencing your trauma. Like, as far as, you know, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to circle back and say that, you know, I was just talking to somebody day before yesterday about that kind of trauma, where two people had the same traumas. And the mom was absent in their life, big time meth user, addict, in and out of their lives. Recently had died in a car crash. Both of the sisters had been molested and raped as young adults. And the one sister is the epitome of a great person, has never been in trouble, does not drink, does not do alcohol, great mom, completely devoted. Meanwhile, her sister uses all of that stuff for the reason why she's such a shitty person and absent mom and addict. And so I would agree that everybody deals with trauma completely differently, even if it's the exact same trauma.
I think that was crazy too, talking to my brother, and we're only 18 months apart, and being like, shit, I don't remember that. Or like, I don't remember happening it like that. And he was like, that's exactly how it fucking happened. Like, you know, we were talking about even situations with our parents, and I was like, that's not how I remember it. And so how he's come out on that side and how I've come out on a different side, and our, even our personalities and how different we are with that, played a huge impact, because I'm just very happy-go-lucky. Water off a duck's back. Like, the sun's going to come up. It's fine. Half glass full. At least we're pretty, you know. And he's a very cynical, realistic, you know, absolutist. So it was very
he's
different.
He's angry.
He's also very angry. And that was the thing too. I'm like, what you got to be angry about? We had a great childhood. He was like, what fucking house were you living in? And I was like, the same one. I don't understand. So I think, you know, perspective and relativity is just so important, you know, when it comes to this. But, you know, going through your life and understanding too how to almost reframe this, right? Understanding that trauma, yes, it has a negative connotation, right? Like, it is essentially what has happened and how you're trying to process through it. But it doesn't mean that you can't heal from it. It doesn't mean, we've talked a lot about this, you are not broken. You are not, there's no point in trying to get through it, right? And I love how the brain actually really responds to this. The brain's going to try and protect you in so many different ways, right? It's going to try to avoid, disassociate. It's even going to deny or rewire itself entirely so that you can cope. All of that can be worked through and processed through with the right amount of therapy. And we'll talk about that on the healing portion of it. But I think that's a big stigma, is that you are not broken. And right now you're focusing on survival, and that's where your brain is going. You're trying to stay safe. You're trying to, you know, that's why you have that sense of anxiety all the time. And it's really difficult to be present and interact with the world in a meaningful way when you're in fight or flight.
Yeah. And I'd say the number one response that I have found talking to other people about their trauma, is repressing. Mm. Repressing is a huge, huge way to deal with trauma. I remember talking to my sister, one of the few times we talked, as an adult, right before she, robbed me and then, moved back in with my parents. I was talking about, some of the stuff that had happened to us as children, you know, and it was one of the only times I've been able to connect with a family member about the shit that happened in my family. 'Cause I don't talk to my family. And I remember I was telling her a story about this this kid. My mom was an in-home healthcare CNA, and I'll just call him V. But this kid V, he had severe autism, and he would just, you know, rock back and forth, make, you know, involuntary noises and stuff like that. New music though, he was so good at music. Could name any artist. But he was a good kid. He was 16, but I mean, he was just a baby mentally, and, you know, wore diapers and stuff. So my mom had to change his diapers. And so I remember one time my mom was changing him out of his diaper, and my dad had walked in the room and noticed that V, who was a 16-year-old boy with 16-year-old boy responses, had got an erection. And my dad noticed, and so he walked in, and he straight kicked the kid right in the privates, kicked him right in the dick, and said, "Don't you ever, ever get a boner around my wife," and then just walked out. And my sister started bawling. I mean, bawling, because she had forgotten that any of that had even happened. Mm-hmm. She had forgotten that whole period of when that kid used to live with us and the abuse that used to go on to that kid. That's not even the trauma that happened to us. Mm-hmm. It was the trauma they caused this poor kid, who I just hope nothing but the best for him and hope he's in such a better spot. But she had repressed every single memory of all of that and just started bawling and was angry at me for bringing it back up and making her think about it again. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the crazy shit. Let's fucking real talk Sunday, B. I think that's the crazy shit too, is when people have that stigma around trauma that when you go to therapy, it's fucking weak. And that's the shit. I was literally talking to my cousin about this, and my dad sometimes has it. Oh, I didn't know you were in therapy. Tell me how difficult it is to show up week after week with somebody holding you accountable to talk about the shit you don't want to fucking talk about, that hurts, that's real, that's uncomfortable, and then to put it on a pedestal or a magnifying glass to flush it out, to then go over, all right, how are we going to cope with this? How are we going to heal from this? Here are some tools that you're going to have to deploy on a daily or weekly basis. And you need to stick to it. And I'm going to see you back here next Tuesday at 5 o'clock. And we're going to talk about what you uncovered. And you're going to do this for the rest of your fucking life so that you can have a better life. Tell me that shit's weak.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
Tell me that shit doesn't require strength. Like, what?
So you mentioned tools, and I think trauma, you know, it correlates, we said, like with mental health and everything. If you're in that 0 to 5 years old and you're having trauma in that time, and your parents don't teach you the tools mm-hmm. to cope, like how you suppressed your stuff. Brandon remembers his stuff, but did you have the tools to know what to do?
Oh, no. I'm a poster child for someone who should have gone to prison. I mean, flash forward throughout all my trauma. I wound up in prison for 10 years, then got trauma in prison and had to learn in my adult life how to live.
Well, because you didn't get the life skills.
Yeah, trauma because after you, trauma after
the trauma. Trauma, you it hindered you from learning life skills and how to cope. So these kids that have childhood trauma, they don't have coping skills when they become an adult, right? And so that's why it's so important to teach coping skills, and that's what we do on a day-to-day basis with children, adults, with what we do. And it's the same thing, and you see it to where if someone's angry and they punch somebody or they hit their brother or they hit their sister or they hit a friend, and the parents are like, oh, no, you can't do that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when an adult is angry and they're at a bar and they punch a wall, they do all that, we're still doing the same things because those people never learned how to cope mm-hmm. correctly. So I just think it all ties together to where you were set up for failure because of your trauma of your parents, and then you ended up in prison because of all these things. So I just think the tools are so important. And you didn't have the tools either, Amanda, because you suppressed it, so you don't even remember it. Your brother remembers it, mm-hmm. but he doesn't have any coping skills. He didn't get the tools. And I'm not saying your parents didn't give him the tools. I don't know what they did. Yeah, but we don't know.
But also,
you're 4 years old, you don't know what your parents tried to do. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So you have to give them like half and half credit mm-hmm. on that.
They did the best with what they had. Yeah.
So
they did the best they knew how to do.
My opinion, as what we do for work, hearing that story was really hard. No pun intended, but
can't laugh, can't heal, folks.
But I'm the dick.
But I'm saying, I literally had this happen today. Our client that, you know, I don't think I can go into that. But anyways, we had somebody that he was like halfway having an erection, but it's so innocent, mm-hmm. you know, he's an adult age and he has no idea and he's not going in the bathroom and doing anything. It's not even like that. But people like your parents that were ignorant were like, oh my gosh, how could you do that? They don't know. No clue. It's not the same as if you had an erection, you know? And so I just think that's a horrible story. That was really hard just knowing it from the get-go, because mm-hmm. Kayla's had to change people. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. she changes, depends, and grown men, grown women, you know, it's.
Yeah,
it's
the body responds how the body's going to respond, right? And we know mm-hmm. that as like fully functioning adults that is going to happen. But I would disagree and say that, no, that's. What did Tony Robbins say? He said it best, right? Blame elegantly. Mm-hmm. Blame elegantly.
I just disagree.
He grew up in an abusive home as well, right? And that's how he phrases it as well, is that his parents did the best that they knew how to do. Now, was it dog shit? Absolutely. 100%. Their best was that dog shit, right? That's all they knew how to do at the time. Otherwise, they would have done better. And so that's why I phrase it like that, is that, yeah, that they did the best that they knew how to do. They were fucking absolutely terrible and fucking bad parents, right? I'm not disagreeing with you there.
But I thank them because now
I know what not to do. Mm. I know not to do that in that situation. I understand that the body has its natural results, right? Like, I know that you don't hit your kids. I know that you don't point guns at your family. I know that you don't do lots of horrible things. And now I know how to be a better father because of how bad they were to me. Mm-hmm. And so that is a coping skill I've had to learn. And it took me a long, long, long time. And I am still working on it. But I have to learn to blame elegantly. Otherwise, I will never let it go.
And I think it's crazy to find, like, the worst trauma is, you know, complex trauma. And it's what children experience, you know, trauma as early as infancy all the way to basically 0 to 5 and sometimes up to 6 years old, when they are the most vulnerable to the effects of trauma, since their brains are still in early formative years. They haven't developed yet. It's difficult for adults who have fully functioning brains and fully developed brains to now, you know, cope with this. But that's the worst kind of trauma, is the trauma that happens with children, which brings me, you know, to this next point, which is generational trauma, which has been something that's been so top of mind, I think, for us in our parenting.
Oh, absolutely.
And something that we talk about all the time, because it's so fucking cyclical. When you have a traumatic event or a traumatic experience, because your parents, you know, they got whoopings, so you get whoopings. And finally, you're to a point where you're like, no, this, I didn't fucking enjoy that. A lot of my friends who got whoopings.
And it didn't help.
It didn't fucking help. I don't know why, but we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. We're going to do it a different way. We're going to sit on our hands. We're going to put our nose, you know, we're going to
get sprayed with apple cider vinegar.
Even that, something like that.
Instead of eating fucking soap. I remember getting sick. I remember getting so, so sick. My parents made me eat an entire bar of fucking Dove soap because I said hell. I said, what the hell? And ironically, I grew up in a very Christian household. Okay. Went to church 4, 5, 6 days a week sometimes. Bible camps. And I'm talking Pentecostal Christians. So the praying in tongues, falling down and shaking and da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Like gifts of the Spirit, on fire for Jesus. And I said, what the hell, one time. And they made me eat an entire bar of Dove soap. And I got sick for like 4 fucking days. I was so violently sick, and they would not take me to the goddamn doctor.
How old were you?
I think I was 7 or 8.
So we use apple cider vinegar.
Right? Because I'm not going to do that. I'll threaten Dominic every once in a while with some Tabasco sauce.
Oh, yeah.
I tell him, you're lucky I don't give you Tabasco, but you know why I don't do it? Because I love Tabasco to this day because of it. And I know it doesn't work.
But yeah, that was the only thing. I was like, I'd rather them have an aversion to vinegar than fucking soap. But that's just like a small thing. And that's not necessarily, but yeah, it's a traumatic experience from something that can be completely avoided because we got more information. Soap is super toxic, depending on which soap you use. You know, it's a healthier one that they hate just as fucking much. Apple cider vinegar. We have a solution. We know better. So now we can do better. But I guess the question I pose to you guys is, why do you think, like, our generation and the one after us is just more woke on mental health and breaking generational trauma? You know, I think even, you know, that doctor I referenced earlier, MC, she even called it a grief phobic society, where a lot of people don't like to hold space for people who are fucking feeling quote unquote negative feelings. Why do you think our generation's trying to break this? Because I've heard a lot more talk about it than I ever have.
I would say it's right up there with the mental health stigmas and stuff like that too. Ignorance, along with racism, right? Because it seems to be that same generation that is still the back of the bus generation. You know what I'm saying?
I work with that generation.
I know you do. But
in literal buses. So
I know it's that same generation though, that it's ignorance. Is what it is. And we have such an informational overload now, where you have TikTok, you have Facebook, you have ads on TV talking about mental health. You have high profile celebrities talking about mental health now, whereas that did not happen before because it was not good for the brand. You know why it wasn't good for the brand? Because our generation did not like them. But now you get people more our age coming out and being like, no, like I struggle pills. With fucking anxiety, dude. Like
this one makes me happy. This one keeps the ghosts away. This one, you know. Yeah,
no. And absolutely. So I would say that that's what it is. It's fear based, right?
It's ignorance in your is face fear-based. Now, and people can read things on the internet, like you
and
think.
The convenience of it, dude. I
the internet's been around since '93, right? And so I mean,
the accessibility,
but
of it.
Now. Everybody's got it.
Well, now
everybody's got it in their hands and everyone's looking at it every 15 minutes. And I think I read somewhere that every 15 minutes level. We're about looking at our phone.
Right.
What you consume is different to everybody, but we're looking at our phones about every 15 minutes.
You can't sleep and they're just like on TikTok learning about, you know, anxiety and all this stuff. But I also think each generation somehow, whether it's society or whatever it may be, tends to learn something. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They tend to learn a little bit, not a lot, but
I found this, I was going to say for, you know, economic reasons too, like everyone now has access to that information, to a phone, which, you know, portal to the universe.
It's information overload for everybody.
But
now.
I found this quote that really rings true, like to what Val said, pain travels through families until someone is ready to feel it, by Steffi Wagner. And it came with this, you know, it was on Reddit. But for many of us, our generational curse is avoidance. We come from people who act like it didn't or doesn't happen. But pain demands to be felt. And somewhere along the line, a child will be born whose charge it is to feel it all. These are your shamans. These are your priests and priestesses. These are your healers. You call them mental health patients and label their power as depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, and the like. But these are the ones who are born with the gift of feeling. And as we all know, you can't heal the pain that you refuse to feel. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, I'm trying not to get emotional right now because I remember
I thought of
having,
when I wrote that down. I was like, oh my God.
I remember right before the last time I saw my family, I came to my oldest sister, who I think, God, she was only like 11 at the time. And I said, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I can't do this anymore. This isn't normal, girl. This is not normal. And this has been going on for so much longer than you remember. Like, I can't do this anymore. I'm sorry. I have to go. And I ran away from home for the last time. Mm-hmm. Because I remember it hit me to where it is not fucking normal.
Yeah.
It's not. Okay. It's not okay.
You started talking to other kids about shit too, and they were like, what the fuck?
I was raised, like I said, in a super Christian household, and I was homeschooled on fucking top of that. And so, like, I always use the analogy, I was in a box, right? And then, so my parents were dicks, obviously, but they would kick me out of the house and then call me in as a runaway. But it backfired because they let me out that box. And I got out of that box and I realized, oh, what the fuck? Your parents don't fucking throw you through walls? What do you mean? And I started looking around and things weren't as I was told they were. And I never got back inside that fucking box. And so finally, I walked up to my sister and I felt for the first time that it wasn't okay, and it had to fucking stop.
Now here we are. I think that's a big one too. It's like the
amount. Well, a lot of shit happened between then.
Absolutely. Like, well, don't get me wrong. Like, cause I met you after incarceration. Like, your young adulthood, like, it's crazy too. We'll talk about. I'll be like, well, when I was I turned 21 in Vegas, and I turned, you know, in 22 I was road tripping. In 23 I went to Australia.
Yeah, I turned.
And he was like,
I turned 18, 19, 20. 21, 22, 26, and 27 in prison.
And in totality, it was a decade of combined time of you incarcerated. So the experiences we had were so fucking crazy different. It was a trip. Well, like, we definitely talk about that at a later date, but like, I think that was a trip talking
about. We have a prison episode.
Yeah,
for sure.
We're talking about us, you know, yeah, just being 22, 23. And then when he came out, how he was, because you were trialed as an adult. You went in 17 as an adult.
Yeah, so I went in at 17 years old. And then I did about 5.5 straight without getting out. So I escaped from prison, which gave me more time. So I got, you know, four fixed, six indeterminate, and I didn't get out for about 5.5 years. I got out and I didn't even know how to wash my hands. What I mean by that is those automatic fucking sensor things, those were not around I went into fucking
like
prison.
Phones and shit.
And so I went into a bathroom and I took a piss, went to the sink. There was another guy in there with me. And I'm looking and I'm like tapping the sink, right? And I'm like, fucking, I don't know how to turn this fucking thing on. And the dude just kind of looking at me fucking sideways. And I said,
Side eye.
He's like, I go, how do you turn this on, man?
Oh, shit.
And he looks at me and goes, shh.
What year is it?
Puts his hand underneath the sink and it goes, shh, shh. And moves it back and forth. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks, man. And I commenced washing my fucking hands. I remember walking through Walmart back and walking through the frozen food section and the lights turning on and me jumping. They didn't have automatic fucking light sensors and shit like that when I went to prison. I got out and I didn't know how to cope with society. I didn't know. It was those were the little things, boop, boop, right? Boop, 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 those boop. Are the little things.
Yeah, put you right back in. Yeah, and it's crazy too.
I still to this day eat only with a fucking spoon.
I know. I'll be like, you want a fork? You'll be like,
no.
That happened today. I go, do you want a fork or a spoon? He goes, spoon.
Yeah. Because I ate with a fucking spork. Like ramen. For so goddamn long.
With ramen?
Oh, no. He'll make the
cream. I make some spreads. You want to have a prison spread?
No, I'm just saying with the spoon.
Some squeeze cheese, girl. Some refined beans.
Ew.
Gross. But yeah, I think, you know, into coming back, you know, as far as like the trauma response is, it's never wrong, right? And I think taking words again from MC saying like the definition of trauma response is actually, you know, she feels incorrect. And she says it's a strength, not a weakness. It's a sign that your neurobiology is adapting to a threat. It is not a sign that you are broken. And so I think that's the biggest one when it comes to like what to say, what not to say, you know, before we get into our segment. Thanks, Mom. But when it comes to trauma, especially people who have it around you, regardless of its source, you know, trauma contains a lot of the common elements. But when you have somebody who's experiencing trauma, the things you cannot say, cannot, should not, do not say is like, oh, you know, stop being negative, is to, you know, really just play it off or downplay it. It couldn't have been that bad, or could always have been worse, you know, especially when you do that to yourself.
At least you're here.
Yeah. Oh. It's, you should probably tell somebody that happened. I think it's time, you know, because now you're putting the timeline on their shit. And it's, you know, just, why didn't you say anything sooner? You know, making them feel guilty about it. And you think you'll just like ever stop being depressed
you
or sad?
You want to hear the worst thing you can say? I remember. So
what have you been told?
I got molested when I was about 14 years old. This person whose house I was staying at one of the times they had called me in as a runaway. Well, flash forward, I got arrested and brought back home, and I told my dad about it, and I said, you know, hey, this happened. He looked at me dead in the eye and he goes, you some sort of faggot now? That's what you don't say. Those are the kinds of things that you don't say. You don't judge. You don't make the other person feel bad for something that happened to them, right? Mm-hmm. Like trauma is not caused. You can cause trauma, right? But that's mm-hmm. not what we're talking about here. Trauma happens to you. That mm-hmm. is out of your control. So don't ever, ever, ever let anyone do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge. Do not fucking dare judge somebody else, because who knows? you may have blown your brains out with the shit that I fucking went through. Mm-hmm. I am strong. I am resilient. I am brave. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember that the people that go through trauma, no matter what it is, are strong and resilient and brave. And just be kind, folks. Be fucking kind. Yeah. Please, please be kind. You don't know whose life you're saving.
Oh, for sure. And the thing is too, trauma contains, you know, the three common elements, regardless of its source. It's unexpected. The person was unprepared. And there's nothing the person could do to prevent it from happening. It is not the event that determines whether something is traumatic to somebody or, but the experience that the individual has in the event and the meaning that they make of it. And so as parents too, that's a huge one, is like, it's hard not to downplay, especially don't do that shit. That,
yeah,
I
and
mean,
it's like, nah,
fucking,
dad, I'm not saying I'm ready to start sucking.
Oh my
sucking,
God, I can't
I'm
even
not
imagine.
I'm not saying I'm starting ready to start sucking dicks now. I'm just trying to tell you, like, this is what happened to me, dude. You're supposed to have
shit.
My back. Like, you're supposed to have
was
my back.
Just
you know
essayed.
I mean?
Like, it's a big fucking, that's just, oh, breaks my heart. And it's like, I'll be there for you no matter what. You know, I know this isn't fair. None of this was your fault. You don't deserve this. You know, I'll support you in any way I know.
Yeah,
how.
I remember.
Like,
I remember them.
Do you
want to
talk?
I remember
about
them
it.
Making me pray so I didn't go to hell for it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just like, ugh.
So it's just no judgment. Just
and you gotta
fucking be kind.
Provide that again. That safe space.
Just listen.
Listen,
just
and those are your those are
you
your positive
words. Shit.
If you don't have anything nice to say,
yeah,
don't fucking
even
say it. But
say
you
shit.
Say, "I'm gonna hold space for you. Do you want to talk about it? You want to
talk
about it now, later?
You
not with
hug,
me.
Bro?
You
want to
talk?
Bro?
You
want
a hug? You want
a hug? You want a hug, bro?
Like, you know. But healing is possible. It just takes time. And if you do not resolve, like unresolved trauma, puts people at yes, increased risk for mental health. You know, diagnosis, which. Can run the gamut from like anxiety all the way to depression and PTSD, but physical manifestations, you know, like cardiovascular problems, high blood pressure, stroke, heart attacks, you will meet your maker sooner rather than later if you suppress this and stop, you know, and
your trauma
and
will kill you.
It will kill you. It will absolutely kill you. And it's an individual experience that, you know, and what works for one person doesn't work for the other. But there's a lot of different types of healing, you know, movement practice, talk therapy. That's what we do.
And laughing about it, too.
Oh
that's
God,
the thing, too. It's like people don't understand my sense of humor sometimes.
This shit gets dark. He's like, there is nothing that we cannot joke about. And other people are like, au contraire. He's like, bet.
Yeah, no.
I'm like,
no,
B, you can't joke about
what did
that
you,
shit.
What did you,
you can't call me fat, she, okay? That's not funny.
She asked
please
me to
don't
date.
Ever put us in that situation again. Just
she,
saying.
She asked me earlier if the car that we're borrowing could pull this tiny trailer. I was like, yeah, I think so. She's like, hey, how many dead babies do you think could fit in there?
I
was like, I
would never say before
like,
knowing him.
I was like, I don't know. It depends, I guess. She goes, on what? I was like, how full of cum they are. And she goes, fucking what? And I was like, what else do you do with dead babies? It's just
help.
That dark sense of humor. You know what I mean? It's like being in the dark. It's just.
Can't laugh,
can I'm just breathing into the mic because I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
you don't
no,
joke about dead babies.
You don't joke
no.
about dead babies?
Then don't no. watch Anthony Jeselnik because
yeah.
he's one of our favorite
he's
comedians.
One of my favorite comedians.
Yeah, you know, so talk therapy, somatic experience, EDMR, you know, with the laser, prolonged exposure therapy, cognitive processing therapy. So there's a lot out there. The best part is it's convenient. Like, sign up for an app. You get to find out, like, you need to get an experience, you know your triggers so you can avoid it in the future. But, I mean, ultimately... It's you and you alone, man.
And if you got kids,
if
as a parent,
got kids,
as a parent, here
bro.
I'm gonna give you y'all some free advice
this
as a parent.
Perfect segue into thanks, mom.
Know your triggers.
Nothing
know your
brings
red
to the surface.
Flags.
Yeah, nothing brings to the surface your trauma like being a fucking parent.
I have broke down and fucking cried before, just in little conversations I had where I'm like. Fuck, that was my dad right there.
Yeah.
That was my dad.
Oh, my God.
And don't get me wrong. I wasn't, like, beating the brakes off the kid or anything like
but
that.
But shit you
but
say.
But shit I
or
said
like,
or just getting really overly frustrated with mm-hmm. him, even though he's five
my
fucking
temper.
Years old. Know your red flags and know when to fucking stop and know when to shut your fucking mouth so you don't give your trauma mm-hmm. to your fucking kids.
You just can't, Nemo. Like, it really is. It truly is. Like, I would say being a parent and then being in a serious relationship are the two that just bring your fucking trauma right to the fucking surface. And that's the part that's cyclical, is the most trauma, the complex trauma that happens is 0 to 5 years old. You don't fix your shit and you bring a child into this world and you now put your shit on their shit and their brain isn't even fully developed to handle your fucking shit. Boom. Now we're cyclical and we're right back to generational trauma.
Yeah. And then he's going to grow. And then he might grow up to fucking be doing the same shit that you're doing and that your dad did. And it's just never fucking ending. And I'm so scared of that on a daily basis. Daily basis.
We talk about that a lot.
It can't happen. I will not allow my parents to do that to them.
Yeah. It's like,
thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom.
But also, thanks, Mom, for showing me what not to do. Like I was going to say, that's my thing. Blame elegantly. That's what helps me. Thank you for showing me how to not be a piece of shit.
I definitely thank you. I've never met your parents. I've never met your parents. One of the lucky ones. We don't have any relationship with any part of your family. But at the end of the day, I thank your mom for showing, and your dad for showing you like what a good dad is, because you were like the best daddy. You were the best daddy. And I met a lot of dads, and it doesn't even compare. It's my pleasure. What a gift that I was able to give them. You know what I mean? Oh, and nice. I think that's the big one. But like, yeah,
That's what I appreciate about you.
Is that what you appreciate about me, B? I think the biggest one, my thanks, Mom, is my generational trauma with money, which we talked about in our former episode. And so I definitely thanks Mom for that. But like, my thanks, Dad, is my fucking temper. I was talking to my cousin about this because we always call it our last name. Oh, this is the temper. And it's like, no, I think our dads were just fucking assholes. And I think their dad was a fucking asshole. And it's hard because I lost my grandpa when I was 22. And I really miss him. He was a really big part of my life. But looking back, thinking like, oh, shit, I don't think he was that good of a dad. And my mom was like, he wasn't. And that's really hard for me to swallow because we have so much respect for our grandpa, and I still do. I love him to bits, but yeah, he had a nasty little temper, and my dad has a nasty fucking temper that I'm still dealing with. And we'll definitely talk about, we got feedback from a parenting episode, but like the boundaries with my parents, because they're helping me raise my children, but they got shit that I don't want them giving my kids. And my dad's got a fucking temper, and I have my dad's temper. And it's so hard when I find it's mostly with our son, because our son is so fucking smart.
Yeah, he's
too smart.
He's a lot like me when I was a kid. And like
quick-witted.
There are days when I think I said yesterday, like, yeah, this is one of those days where I kind of understand why my dad beat the fuck out of me. It's like,
put him through the wall, B. We never would, but damn.
Like, he's trying, right? And I was a trying ass kid. I'm not saying that I was like the fucking a great kid, okay? No kid deserves to have their fucking ass beat, guns pointed at him, shit like that, right? But there are days I definitely understand that lesser men than me lose their fucking shit.
I've had it. Thanks, Dad. working on to handle my temper. You have any thanks, Mom? Thanks, Dad?
I don't have anything. I'm just kidding. I really can't think of anything. I don't think, because I also don't have kids. So it's kind of that's where I kind of feel like this is at, but I don't know.
It's hard because like late onset. Who would you like
to thank for your trauma then, right? It doesn't have to be your parents, but like, so your work can also give you trauma. Your environment around you can give you trauma no matter where it is.
Yeah, and I don't think you've had traumas. I'm very lucky and privileged to have a really good fucking family growing up.
Yeah, family. My grandparents.
But late onset trauma happens, a lot of shit happens like that. And you've like, there's been definitely some shit. You've been through some shit for sure, but I mean, it's up to you on that, but
no, I'm just trying to, I can't difference. Like nothing's popping into my mind, because it's been like being a parent in childhood, and I mean
there's that comparing again though, you know what I mean?
I totally get that. I'd say if we're being honest, and this is pretty real for me, that pops into my head over and over, and again,
it's not, and I'm not comparing, but to me, it's not a big trauma, but it was a trauma for me, is when it was more of my friends when I was in my like high school, early 20s. And I kind of touched on this in the body image one, but when they would make fun of me for, and they would call me a lesbian. Here I am today. Bi plus.
How dare they?
I can see you now. You're flying. Right? You're flying.
Bitch.
You're happy.
Those guys should have invested in stocks. They were so right.
You're wearing Vans. You're such a lesbian. But that is what, but those kinds of things. But then on top of that, I'm going towards something, is making fun of me because I hadn't had sex yet, right? Mm-hmm. In our early 20s. That was a trauma for me. No matter how I could pretend it wasn't, it was. And you were probably a little guilty of that yourself.
Yeah.
But
well, because I was a hoe for show, and you had your virginity for so fucking long, dude. And
bitch, do you see how you just said that?
No. But at the time too, and that's the thing, is our circle of friends. Yeah, we were all sleeping. We were all experimenting with a bunch of shit, and that wasn't who you were. That's not who you are. You've never been that person.
Right.
And so that's a
big no. That absolutely can be traumatizing, 100%. And then it makes you hide your true self and not be able to talk about your true self, even with your best of friends at times. Right. You know what I mean? That's why I'm saying you can't compare trauma. Trauma is trauma is trauma is trauma.
Yeah, I was just so pure need a hug, and girl. Innocent.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm not actually talking about Amanda. It was other people hit me more. But every one of my friends that I'm still friends with were guilty of it, for sure. And again, it was funny at the same time, but then it started to be like not, because how self-conscious do you get the older you get, right? Yeah, that's where I'm at. Good talk.
Good talk. Real talk Sundays. Well, anything else to cherry on top of this trauma cake?
No, I think that's...
I think we've had enough.
I'll save some for a future episode.
I personally had enough.
That's the biggest thing, is like, you know, sit with yourself a bit, get help. Like, that's all I can say to you is like, you got to get help on the stuff
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
And somebody can help you. And that's the best part, is like, is doing help, and it's not a weakness. And I challenge anybody who wants to toe up with me on that conversation.
We can throw hands.
That was really hard to hear. But at the end of the day, you don't have to tell anybody. Keep it a secret. Do you, and watch you just soar. Watch you do so much better. Watch you just start really, really getting to some shit and watch yourself thrive. But that's a concluding today's episode. You can't laugh, you can't heal on Real Talk Sundays. Today's musical artist, no pun intended, maybe a little pun intended.
I did this one on purpose.
Brandon curates all the music, so he was like, yeah, we're going to do this one. Your musical augurs, this song is called Psycho by Dream Denver and Boy in Space. So enjoy this easy listen, and good luck out there.
Yeah, it's just life though, we're in a cycle, just keep your eyes closed, it's like a mind controlled by a psycho, yeah I'm a psycho, stuck in escape room, just trying to find my way out. Nights turn into daydreams on the same street where you left me, yeah, same show, stuck on escape.
cycle.